Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Oh yeah, it's 11 o'clock. You can break out the Metallica, Joshua. Good call. Got a couple of cups of coffee in me. I'm fired. I was a little bit, I don't want to say sluggish in the first hour at 9 o'clock, but I'm not hyped for the Super Bowl quite yet. I'm saving my energy for next week. You can't do it for 2 weeks. You can't be 100% for 2 weeks. I'm getting there. A little Metallica will help you out. Good stuff. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Hope you enjoyed the coverage of ESPN's College Game Day live from Lawrence, Kansas, as the Jayhawks get set to take on Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. There's a lot of basketball going on today. Mizzou and West Virginia are tipping off right now on ESPN. I'll keep you updated on that. Been flipping. I got my eyes also on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network on one of the TVs in here. And earlier today, one of the analysts, I can't remember which one it was, said that former Chiefs safety Eric Berry plans on playing in 2020. Huh. After a year off, I don't know. Maybe somebody will take a chance. That's okay. I also saw some good news for a local Kansas City kid for the NFL draft. The mock drafts are now coming out, the big ones. Yesterday, Mel Kiper Jr. put his out on the Get Up show with Mike Greenberg on ESPN. And Isaiah Simmons from Olathe North played college football at Clemson. Mel Kiper has him projected to go 4 overall to the New York Giants. The Good Morning Football mock draft, which has been scrolling all morning, has Isaiah Simmons going number 5 overall and going to, now they're putting up a couple of different mock drafts now, but he's in their top 10. So good stuff for Kansas City kid. Isaiah Simmons, hell of a player, best linebacker in the country.
And a shout out to another linebacker from Blue Springs who is in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Elijah Lee.
There you go.
He's on the wrong squad, but. Shout out to you, Elijah Lee.
There you go. Good call. Thank you, Joshua. I always try to promote our Kansas City kids. So we're going to talk more Super Bowl as we roll along here. Coming up between 11:30 and noon, we're going to hear from Tyrann Mathieu. One of the more, he's been a blast to watch. What a great move by the Chiefs. Brett Veach to get him. We'll also hear from Chris Jones coming up at 11:30. Right now, we are joined on the line by Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register. I always say Des Moines. I know it's Des Moines, but it's just something I do. I'm from Iowa. I can do that. I can take liberties with the name. Danny Lahan covers all things Iowa sports and legal sports wagering in the state of Iowa. Danny, how are you on this Saturday morning?
I'm good, Brad. I'm just glad you're not in Super Bowl hyperventilation mode yet. That'd make for a nervous interview. So I'm glad that you're good.
Well, I'm trying to pace myself. Last week, we came in to do the Saturday morning show, and I was just I was over the moon. I was kind of probably a little overboard because I was very confident with the Chiefs going against the Titans. So that was with one day to go last week. Now I got 8 days to go. I got to pace myself, Danny.
But we could all have been excited last week. I mean, I grew up in St. Joe and through all my childhood, so I was right there along with everybody. You kind of were, if you took a rational look at things, you knew that the Chiefs just had to win that game against Tennessee with a second chance at Arrowhead Stadium. But when it's been 50 years and you've seen all the crazy things happen, like, you just don't want to be that person who's going to say it out loud first. It was like a volcano waiting to erupt, I think.
Absolutely. And, Dana, I'm glad you mentioned that you're from St. Joe, Missouri, because our first time having you on the show was back at Chiefs training camp. We were in St. Joe, and I didn't know at the time, but you had made your way to St. Joe for Chiefs training camp, and you were probably on the phone, like, literally down the street when we had you on the show. So we're trying to keep the good luck and the, you know, the vibes and all that going, so we had to get you back on the show, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I'm a willing participant. I mean, I want to be down at a parade in Kansas City here in a week and a half, just like everybody else does. So. Well,
that'd be great. And hopefully the Des Moines Register will give you a little space to write a little something about it.
We'll have something next week. I've been actually on the phone with a lot of the Central Iowa diehards, Ed Podolak, still Chiefs Ring of Honor honoree. Scored the first touchdown in Arrowhead history, holds the NFL record for rushing yards in a playoff game in that Christmas Day game against Miami. He was down there at Arrowhead. I talked to him for 20-25 minutes. He's excited. You did the fever spread north, that's for sure.
Ed Podolak, one of the all-time Chiefs greats, and whether it was rushing the football, receiving, returning kicks, returning punts, I mean, the guy just put up a ton of yards, and he doesn't get back to Kansas City that often because he has responsibilities at the University of Iowa. But always good to see that, and hopefully maybe he'll make his way down to Miami for the Super Bowl. We'll see. Do you know if he's going?
Yeah, that's the plan. He and as many of the surviving Super Bowl IV alumni that are, you know, still around and able to travel are all working out arrangements to be together through the weekend. They all want to be down there to hopefully celebrate again. So, well, yeah, that would be fantastic. I think if we can get a 12 to 15 of them who are still kicking to be down there. Wow, what a moment that would be for anybody to find them.
That'd be awesome. And I had the great honor. We're speaking with Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register, covers all of Iowa sports, and we got a handful of Iowa players playing for the Chiefs and the 49ers this week. Also covers sports wagering. And Danny, I had the honor about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. The late Fred White and myself, they got all of the living members of the Chiefs Super Bowl team together from Super Bowl IV, and we got to interview every single one of them. And you never know when things kind of circle back in life. And probably 3 or 4 years ago, Mike Garrett, who scored the famous touchdown on 65 toss power trap, moved back to Kansas City with his two sons and his wife. And his two sons go to school with my oldest. They're sophomores at Rockhurst High School. So we've got to know each other a little bit over the last few years. And it's like, Mike, you know, I met you 10, 12 years ago. And, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, Chiefs great, Super Bowl champion. And all of a sudden, you're back and your kids are going to school together. It's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, you know, there's one thing is, now that we're there and the 50-year drought is in the past, like, it's really cool to be talking about and reminiscing all these connections, because there isn't that, you know, that specter of voodoo hanging over anything anymore. But I would sure like for the next Super Bowl drought to be, you know, 2 years. I would be just fine with that.
Right, absolutely. We're speaking with Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register. All right, let's talk about a handful of these Iowa kids who are playing for both the Chiefs and the 49ers. I got to thinking about this when I wrote down the names. Chiefs linebacker Ben Neiman, who I was rooting for at training camp last year. He was undrafted, but I always liked him at Iowa, and I thought he had an outside chance, but not a great chance, and he fought his way onto the team. He plays a lot of special teams. He's gotten time at linebacker as well. I got to think he went head-to-head with 49ers tight end George Kittle quite a few times in practice up at Iowa.
Yeah, you bet. They crossed over a couple of years. Both were starters their junior and senior seasons. You know, Neiman and Anthony Hitchens, really, for the other example, are both real good examples, I think, of just how understated this part of Steve Spagnuolo's turnaround of the defense has been. You know, Hitchens signed that $50 million contract a couple of years ago, and I was there along with everybody else just scratching my head at how inept and slow Anthony Hitchens seemed to look in Bob Sutton's scheme. And, you know, but if there's one thing that Iowa players, both on either line of scrimmage or especially on defense under Phil Parker, who's been the defensive coordinator up there for 20 years, it's that the fundamentals are always there. And I think that Steve Spagnuolo has put all of his defensive players in as best a position to succeed as possible. Neiman is solid when he goes out there to defend against the run. We don't want him against the pass. but they haven't put him in on very many obvious passing situations. And Hitchens just looks in so much more of a comfortable role with Tyrann Mathieu as the true quarterback of the defense and him being able to play a more supporting role in his position. I think what you get from Iowa, at least on the defensive side, are just real fundamentally sound players, and it's really coming through this year. As for Kittle, Kittle is kind of the forerunner to Iowa being a tight end hotbed. People who are draft Knicks know that Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson were two first-round draft picks from, you know, the same class, same school as a tight end, and that's never happened before. But Kittle was on campus a couple years before that, and people would be surprised to know that he had less than 50 receptions in his two final seasons as a Hawkeye. But you could see the athleticism there. And with the way that the NFL game is evolving and really using the combination of size and speed at the tight end, I mean, Travis Kelce is just as good of an example of that as anybody. Putting a scheme where Kyle Shanahan wants to put him to use and a quarterback who's confident enough to throw him the ball, boom, explosion.
I'm glad you mentioned kids in Iowa and how well coached and how disciplined they are. Because I'm a Hawkeyes fan. I didn't go to Iowa, but I was born in Fort Dodge, so I'm a Hawkeyes fan. And whenever the Chiefs draft or sign an Iowa player, I always tell people they're going to be well coached and they're going to be disciplined. They may not be all pros, they may not be Pro Bowlers, but they're going to be well coached and disciplined. I'm glad you mentioned the note about Anthony Hitchens, because in the Bob Sutton defense, looked out of place. And look, there are a number of players that happened to. Tonno Passanio was in the wrong position, and Steve Spagnuolo came in and looked at the tape and automatically switched the system, going to his system, and put guys in the position to not only be successful, but to better exploit their strengths. And Anthony Hitchens and Tonno Passanio have just been night and day difference in this Chiefs offense under Steve defense under Steve Spagnuolo.
Well, I mean, I think that's all that we wanted as both observers, as journalists, and as Chiefs fans, whatever you want to call it. I mean, this defense did not need to work miracles to go to the Super Bowl. You have the miracle worker at the quarterback position. So just be competent. And there was so much incompetence, I think, at the end of the day last season, that's why I think so many people were frustrated. And it's just a breath of fresh air to see, again, that fundamentally sound scheme being put to use. And it leads to a slightly above average defense. And that's one that can make some plays, keep the ball in front of them, and let Patrick Mahomes, do his stuff. And shock, surprise, we're talking about a Super Bowl in South Florida.
We're speaking with Danny Lahan, a columnist with the Des Moines Register, covers all things Iowa sports and sports gambling, which we'll get into in a minute. I mentioned Ben Niemann for the Chiefs, Anthony Hitchens for the Chiefs, George Kittle for the 49ers. One other player I found that I kind of forgot about, C.J. Beathard, backup quarterback with the 49ers. And C.J. Beathard, for me, is probably never going to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League, but he's going to have a nice long career and make a lot of money and not get hit that much, which is not a bad life to have.
Oh, no. Hey, I mean, all of us in Missouri can sure speak to Chase Daniel.
Yes.
I think he certainly isn't crying about the $50 million or so he's made in his career as a backup. I mean, my goodness. And C.J. Beathard is exactly the type, like you mentioned, he's exactly the type of backup quarterback you want. Over the course of a full season, his warts will be exposed. I mean, we saw that last year after Garoppolo got knocked out in the game at Arrowhead against Kansas City last year. But, he rallied that team to four victories. His quarterback rating was right around league average. His touchdown-to-interception ratio was just slightly below average. And that connection with Kittle really it spurred him on to really have that comfort there to have the breakout season that Kittle did. And it kind of set the table to make sure that the 49ers weren't starting from total scratch when Garoppolo came back healthy this season. And you've seen what that offense has been able to do. I mean, I know Garoppolo hasn't had to throw hardly any passes in the playoffs, but it's not like the 49ers have had problems scoring points when they really want and have to. Look at that New Orleans 48-46 game that was one of the best games all season.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Our guest is Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register. A handful of Iowa players in this Super Bowl for the Chiefs and 49ers. By the way, NFL Network, I've got it on the screen in here, and they're doing all the skills competitions at the Pro Bowl in Orlando. I'm so glad no Chiefs players are going to play in the Pro Bowl this weekend for the first time in my life.
Well, that dodgeball game, that's a walking ACL waiting to happen, like for yep. Robert Edwards in that sand like football game. Oh, 20 years back or so.
Yeah, he was a Patriots running back that looked like he was going to be the next big superstar, and then his career was ended by that.
Oh, yeah. No, it is awesome to not get – well, we don't give a flying flip about that game tomorrow afternoon anyway. But it was so depressing always seeing that the highest Pro Bowl ratings were in Kansas City because we had nothing better to do, and that was the last chance to see everyone. Right. It would be great to see the Kansas City rating for the Pro Bowl be like 20th or something this year.
Well, let's get into the sports gambling aspect of it. As we know, those of us here in Missouri and Kansas, we don't have it yet. It's one of those things that has not been a priority. We're hoping sometime in the 2020 term we'll get some kind of movement. So Missouri is out, Kansas is out, Nebraska hasn't moved on it, but Illinois and Iowa have taken it on. And you have to be, you can do it on your phone, but you have to be physically inside the state of Iowa to do it. You can do it at the casinos. Danny, I was reading your last article about the topic, and in the month of October, almost $47 million generated in sports wagering. And so I have not seen the November and December numbers yet. I got to think the first legal wagering in the state of Iowa that's happening right now leading up to the Super Bowl is just going to do gangbusters for the state of Iowa.
Yep. November and December numbers were both higher than that. November was around $53 million wagered. Profits for the state are a big – that's a complicated situation that we don't need to go into.
Okay.
But in terms of share – well, I mean, nobody cares.
No.
We hardly care. But, in December, the total amount of money wagered was around $60
million. Wow.
And I would expect that with the playoffs and college basketball being in full bloom here – that it will be about the same. The Super Bowl with the Chiefs involved will have some very interesting February numbers. I mean, it's been so much fun I've never been to Vegas like for the Super Bowl, but of course everybody talks about all the prop bets that are there. And I'm actually been scrolling through and seeing what's available, for the first time on my phone, and I counted 237.
Wow!
Different things that I could bet on just from my phone. And one of the best ones, I mean, there's all sorts of the crazy ones that you hear about, with national anthem and Super Bowl halftime related things, like all those stuff for the casual viewers. But there is like a deep cut sports bet that is just too fascinating to me. Tottenham and Man City in the Premier League are having a match at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. You can wager a head-to-head what will be more, first quarter points scored in the Super Bowl or corner kicks in the Tottenham-Man City soccer game. When you're dropping that kind of stuff out, I mean, you could lose a lot of money, you could throw away a lot of money, you could win some money, but you could just dive so deep into all this stuff. It kind of honestly blows my mind.
And look, I'm a huge soccer fan. I root for Liverpool, so I'm going to see if they have some kind of a joint Liverpool Super Bowl prop bet somewhere. See if I can I can mix that in. I would never take a guess on corner kicks because that's just. You just don't know.
Well, then you'll be happy to know that you're plus 105 on the first quarter point. So
there you go.
You can even bet the underdog there.
We're speaking with Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register. Legalized sports wagering in the state of Iowa since I believe August, September, and the Super Bowl is going to be a huge moneymaker for all the casinos in the state of Iowa. And with the Chiefs in there, Danny, I'm guessing you're going to have a lot of. I'm trying to think of a good term here. Gambling tourism next week?
At some point. We had a lot near the start of the season from Minnesota as well. All those folks wanting to place future bets and that sort of thing. I was on the phone with the two main casinos that are within 25 miles of the Des Moines metro area, and they've seen a slight uptick already, even based on what they were expecting for this kind of, dead week in the 14-day wait for the Super Bowl, and they're gearing up. They're anticipating quite a bit, and they're rolling out the meet and greet red carpet for this first Super Bowl experience with legalized wagering. As it happens, the Des Moines casino on the east side of the metro, Priest Holmes is going to be in town this afternoon. So I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Chiefs jerseys and Chiefs bets probably come out of the woodwork here in about 3 or 4 hours, I think, too.
And I think when we talked to you back in August during Chiefs training camp, I kind of threw out an idea about, you know, gambling tourism, and if I were those Iowa casinos, I'd be setting up Chiefs parties and maybe even, you know, leasing buses to bring Chiefs fans up to Iowa. What is the closest casino to the state of Missouri where someone, if you're a Chiefs fan, could drive up there and place a wager on the Chiefs?
If you're in the Kansas City area, you want to go straight up I-35. And then once you cross the Iowa border, about 30 miles north, near an exit for Osceola, there's a big, huge sign for the Lakeside Casino. I mean, it's almost impossible to miss. It's obnoxiously large. There's exits for that are right off of I-35. I mean, so that'd be about a 2-hour and 10-minute drive or so for you. If you're up more near in my neck of the woods, the St. Joe area, it would be just as fast for you to zip up near the Omaha metro. And Council Bluffs has a pretty robust gambling scene for all the folks from Omaha who want to cross the river over. So that would be the area, whether you're from Kansas City metro or Northwest Missouri. Those would be the two spots to get your fix in fast.
And look, I guess I should state this. I'm not encouraging anybody to gamble. If it's not your thing, that's fine. I just find it fascinating. I don't gamble. I make my picks every week just for the Chiefs games for fun. And this season, I'm 13-5 against the spread and 10-8 on the over and under. So I do okay, but I just do it for fun. If I actually had to put real money on the line, it may not turn out that way. We'll see. The Chiefs right now, Danny, are a 1.5-point favorite. You got a prediction, a gut feeling on this?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs. I'm not going to pick against the Chiefs, and that's with both the head and the heart. But if I'm not a Chiefs fan if I don't think that this will involve the maximum amount of nervous torture possible. So I think the way that this happens is a lower scoring game than people expect. I think both defenses are San Francisco's defense is excellent. Kansas City's defense never gets enough credit. We saw against Derrick Henry that the Chiefs were able to be disciplined. I think if they can do that, they can sort of thwart the San Francisco running game to a degree. I also think that the San Francisco defense will have a little more success against Patrick Mahomes than people are expecting. So, what better scenario would it be than the Chiefs are up 27-20. They've got the ball with 4.5 minutes left to go. And it's up to the time management doofus, Andy Reid, to orchestrate a 4-minute drive to run out the clock. And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs will get a couple of first downs, take a couple of knees, and win 27-20. There you go. You can put all of those narratives to rest.
All right, 27-20 Chiefs. And I will say this just in defense of Andy Reid. I listen to Seren Petro every day here, and he's kind of gone through it and kind of dispelled the clock management myth. It happens once in a while on a big stage, but it kind of gets blown up a little bit. I have every confidence that they're going to get this right.
Oh, I don't believe that narrative necessarily either. But whether we believe it or not, that is the narrative.
Right,
you have to shrug it one way or the other.
Well, I'm definitely going to take the Chiefs and give up the 1.5. And again, I don't bet with real money, so don't wager based on anything I think. And I'll tell you this, Danny, I don't know where you're going to be on Super Bowl Sunday or if you have a story to do at one of the casinos, but I've been to Las Vegas one time for a Super Bowl, and I want to say it was Patriots and Packers many years ago, and the line was 11 points, and then it went to 11.5 while I was in line, and so I made some pretty good money on that, enough to pay for my trip. Nothing outrageous, because you're not going to risk a paycheck or anything like that. But do you have any plans to kind of cover the scene at one of the casinos in Iowa and see if a bunch of Chiefs fans or maybe even 49ers fans? I don't know if there's any around here, but how many show up and how the party situation is?
We are going to have someone there. I am actually doing my best to sneak down and be with my family in Greater Kansas City to kind of drink in the experience with the rest of you, figuratively and maybe literally too. I mean, who knows? I've got no plans for the day. Just to let the spirit move me and enjoy it.
Well, that is the best way to do it. Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register is our guest here. We're talked about a handful of Iowa players that play for the Chiefs and the 49ers. Talk about the legalized sports wagering, and probably going to be a big week for the casinos in the state of Iowa. Danny, we had you on at training camp in St. Joe. We're having you on here 8 days ahead of the Super Bowl. Hopefully this is a little bit of good luck for us, and we're talking about a Chiefs win and money for the state of Iowa, since you can legally gamble up there. So hopefully a good week for everybody all the way around.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks so much, Brad, for having me on. And hey, when the Chiefs win, let's do this again in two Saturdays. How about that?
Absolutely.
Let's not put anything to chance.
Absolutely. Let's mark it down. Let's book it. We'll absolutely do it, Danny.
Yeah, you bet. So take care. Everybody have fun in Kansas City.
All right, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you too.
All right, that is Danny Lahan, columnist for the Des Moines Register, talking a little Iowa Hawkeyes playing for the Chiefs and the 49ers, legalized wagering in the state of Iowa, and everybody's making a little money. Everybody's getting a taste up there, and I'm sure there'll be some Chiefs fans up at one of those casinos in Iowa for the Super Bowl party and placing a legal wager on the Super Bowl. On that note, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk more Chiefs. We're going to hear from Tyrann Mathieu. We're going to hear from Chris Jones, if we can get it all in. And we'll take you right up to noon. And then Joshua Briscoe is going to take over with Jayhawk Game Day. You're listening to Sports Saturday. I almost said Sunday because I'm thinking Super Bowl Sunday. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports. Good Saturday vibe. Is that Eminem? Who is this? You don't know?
It's in the alternative category. It's Judah and the Lion.
Okay. I don't know. Man, there's been some negative reaction to Eminem's new album that just came out.
I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard it either. I just read some of the reaction. Look, you shouldn't judge anything based on Twitter. It's a small percentage of the population, but some folks do not like it. That's okay. You don't have to. You like whatever you want. I don't like everything.
He's got enough years in the game. He deserves some homage no matter what. So.
Yeah. I like his older school stuff, but that's okay. Back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. If you missed it earlier in the show, I had said that I had tweeted to Conrad McGorkin, who a lot of folks follow on Twitter. He's fantastic at photoshopping. It's not his real name. I'm not going to tell you what his real name is. I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. He's a good dude, though. He's met a lot of the WHB people. And so I tweeted at him. I said, hey, you know, with the Chiefs and Travis Kelce singing Fight for Your Right to Party, I said, I've never been photoshopped before. Can you photoshop me in as MCA from the Beastie Boys. He did. Tweeted it out. I tweeted it back out. If you want to see it, it's at Brad K. Porter. So, Conrad, thank you very much. I appreciate it. That was fun. One quick local note in the NBA, concerning the NBA, before I get to the Chiefs stuff. Willie Cauley-Stein, who played at Olathe Northwest High School and went to Kentucky, played most of his NBA career, played four seasons with the Sacramento Kings, and then signed a two-year deal with the Golden State Warriors this past offseason. They are working on a trade to send him to the Dallas Mavericks because one of their big men, Dwight Powell, ruptured his Achilles tendon. So Willie Cauley-Stein reported, according to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN, Willie Cauley-Stein from Olathe Northwest High School heading to the Mavericks. That would be fun. Playing with Luka Doncic? I mean, come on. And the Warriors aren't really doing anything this year. Everybody's hurt. There's the kind of the parade is they moved into the new arena right in time for a bit of a downswing. Oh, well, it happens. I hope Willie Cauley-Stein has fun playing with the Dallas Mavericks. All right, back to Chiefs football. And then coming up at noon, Joshua Briscoe is going to jump in with KU College Game Day. Tyrann Mathieu has been simply outstanding for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Leadership off the field, leadership on the field, his performance on the field, all the work that he's done with local charities and groups has been fantastic. Absolute steal by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now look, don't get me wrong, he makes a lot of money. But considering that there were other teams who wanted him and basically stole him from the Houston Texans, it's been fantastic. It's been great. Solidified that secondary that was such a soft spot last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's a big reason why the Chiefs are going to play for a Super Bowl in 8 days in Miami. Tyrann Mathieu talked earlier this week about kind of how it kind of started all the way back in training camp.
Well, I felt like, you know, really throughout this whole season, you know, we've been practicing the right way. Felt like, like I mentioned the other day, probably one of the toughest training camps I've been through. And even now, you know, we're still getting out there in the practice. So I think more than anything, it'd be a mindset thing for us. Can't really let the temperatures or the weather dictate, you know, how we feel on Sunday.
So Coach, Steve said that one of the things that's going to be a big challenge about this game is that the 49ers can come out with a different game plan based on the opponent. So you're going to have to be able to watch them the first couple of series and see what they're doing. How much of that falls on you as a player to be able to identify what the 49ers doing differently maybe than what you've seen on film?
Yeah, I think, you know, ultimately, you know, you try to go out there, you know, really the first 15 plays, try to get a pulse of what they like to do. I think personally, ultimately, they're going to do what they've been doing, which is, you know, they do a lot of motioning, a lot of window dressing. They move a lot of guys around. And all of that is really to get a certain leverage on you. So if we could ID certain guys in certain formations, we understand the possibilities of what could happen on any particular play.
What does George Kittle bring with you?
Great question.
What does George Kittle, what kind of challenges does he present?
Yeah, you know, when I watch him, you know, I see a team that can obviously run the ball really well, but I think he adds a different element to their offense, physicality, more so attitude, right, that he plays with. He seems like he's having a ball, you know, every ball game. So it'd be important for me, myself, you know, guys like Dan to kind of match that energy and just compete, right? Like, you know, it's treat just like any other ball game, and whoever lines up in front of you is about, you know, beating a man on man.
Have you played against him before, and does he remind you of anybody at that position to play against this year?
I have not. I had an opportunity to practice against them last year for a joint practice when I was in Houston. So, but I don't believe he practiced that week. So, no, I've never had a chance to play against him.
Has anybody you played against at that spot this year?
No, I mean, you know, he's an exceptional talent. They move him around. He runs routes from really all three positions, you know, so they bunch him up, they stack him up, they try to get him free releases, they put him in the backfield. He's a big part of what they do concept-wise. It'd be important, like I said, for us to ID where he is, and if it's man-to-man, you know, compete really at the highest level against him.
about the physicality, and of course being physical with Derrick Henry and Sunday game was very important. But what type of physicality are you hoping to impose with their run game and their receivers Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, you know, it'd be important to, you know, obviously can't be too aggressive with some of the run schemes that they run. I think it's important to really just win your leverage, right? You know, understand where your help is. And I think in the back end, it'll be important for us to kind of fill alleys this next week, get involved in a run game. And like I said, the biggest thing, you know, ID and formations. I think they move a lot of people around. It could confuse you. It has confused a lot of people. But at the end of the day, I think final formation, it'll really tell us a lot if we're reading our keys the right way.
With the Niners changing things up so often, I'm sure your eyes are critical here. Will you do extra film study? Will you put in extra hours just so you be able to maybe figure out the certain keys and so on and so forth this week?
Yeah, I think the offensive coordinator, coach, head coach do a good job of, you know, making a lot of plays look the same, right? And, you know, they run a lot of different formations out of a lot of different personnel groups. I think at the end of the day, they like certain concepts. So, you know, for me, you know, it's about, you know, I've been trusting myself all year. So, you know, it's about me just believing in what I see. And, you know, I think that has really allowed me to play at a high level. Well, I think, you know, different situations, you know, require, you know, really different thought processes. You know, obviously, I think early in the game, you want to get a pulse of what they're trying to do, keep everything in front of you. And then from there, you know, it's just about playing aggressive ball, you know, understanding what they like to do and, you know, making plays on the football.
All right, that's Chiefs safety Tyrann Mathieu from earlier this week talking about the matchup in the Super Bowl with the 49ers. He was asked in there if he was going to do extra film study leading up to the Super Bowl. Look, I am fairly confident that Tyrann Mathieu spends a lot of time away from the practice facility looking at film, tape, whatever you want to call it. I don't think you're going to have to ask him to watch more. One of the most well-prepared players in the National Football League. And you see it on the field when he's gesturing to his teammates because he recognizes something. And that's one of the challenges they're going to have against the 49ers, because like Tyrann Mathieu just said, they'll run the same play out of a number of different looks.
Window dressing.
Or they'll give you the same look a couple of times and run something completely different. And I am fairly confident that Tyrann Mathieu is going to be well-prepared for whatever the 49ers present to the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
I said it before the season. There's proof on my Twitter. He's the best safety on the market, and that included guys like Earl Thomas and whoever else was out there, and I think he's better than what I even thought he was going to be this year. He's been fantastic.
Yep, 100%. And I would even say, I don't know when they give away the Defensive Player of the Year award. I know it's going to be that kid from the Cardinals who had all the sacks. I get that, but Tyrann Mathieu deserves some votes. He has been outstanding for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, next up we'll hear from Chris Jones here. Remember, he missed a couple of games battling the calf injury. He said after the win over the Tennessee Titans, he was probably only about 50% in that game. But 50% of Chris Jones is still pretty damn good. And so he was asked this week, just kind of in general, how he's feeling.
I'm feeling better, you know, just taking advantage of this week off, getting healthy, getting to the playbook, studying them 49ers. Yeah.
Were you surprised at how well you played? I mean, I know you're confident, I know you have your abilities, but not having had a chance to test it, did you feel that comfortable that you would be able to make the kind of impact you did?
When Friday came, I kind of knew I was going to play, but you know, with Rick and the training staff, I thank them guys so much. They took the precautions to make sure I was the healthiest that I could be before the game. But I knew I was going to play, and whenever I step on that field, I try to give 110%, no matter how I'm feeling, and, you know, whatever pain I'm enduring during the game, I'll just make sure that I battle through it and just give it my all.
How were you emotionally after the injury happened and having to sort of deal with it internally, missing, you know, big game and all?
I mean, especially an injury at that time, you actually go through a lot. Thank God for my guys, my teammates, the D-line, you know, a guy like Frank Clark, that he is all about positive vibes, positive energy. My teammates always uplifting me. you know, just those guys uplifting me and everything, because then you get to question yourself why it happened or what could I have done better, you know, and especially in playoff games, because, you know, playoff isn't promised. And especially when you feel like you can do something to help your team to win a game, you know, it's emotionally challenging. And I was fortunate enough that the team went out there, executed against Houston, and I was able to play against Tennessee Titans, and thank KC fans for the prayers. I think they helped. And Miss Fags, she actually made me some meatballs. And I think that's what did it. The meatballs had me feeling amazing on Friday. So
more meatballs.
Yeah, that's why I told him, man, it's tradition now. He told me, listen, that's my wife, just relax. And I told him, I'm not trying to make any problems.
Chris, can you talk about the 49ers? We were just hearing how they can disguise things. All the plays can look the same. And then suddenly it's something different. They've got something special for this defense. So when you study them, what do you see that they do?
They're very special. Both sides of the ball. I mean, they took this off season and added some huge key pieces. They added D-Ford, drafted a Nick Bosa kid. They got Richard Sherman on the outside, DeForest Buckner. Their front seven is ruthless. Then you look at the offense, Jimmy Garoppolo, the speed that they've created around him, one of the best tight ends in the league, George Kittle. So they got a lot of weapons. They're very dynamic. Good team, great team. And, you know, with the scheme Shanahan is running over there, is very pivotal. And we got to study film, make sure we dial into whatever we can do to affect those guys.
Chris, you talked about how tough it is to sit there knowing you can't play. Now, how tough is it to have 2 weeks to have to wait to play in the Super Bowl? You know, are these days just crawling by right now?
No, this is great. You know, I was thinking about this last week, and you know, everybody was like, "Man, the bye week is not good." No, the bye week is great. You need the bye week. You know, this is a week 20, week 21 of the season. You know, is long, so it's very, very fortunate we're able to get this bye week and take advantage of it and rest and get our bodies right and our mental capacity of the game right. You know, because actually later on in the season, especially for younger guys, the mental capacity, you know, it gets hard. You have to start, you know, actually forcing yourself to study more, forcing yourself to look at the playbook, because it's so late in the season that, you know, around this time you're actually done with football, unless you're fortunate enough to make it to the Super Bowl.
Does the stress, you know, you guys had such a focus of getting back to where you were because you were so close last year. And I wondered, did the stress maybe, did you see it kind of on you guys? Maybe that's why you got off the slow starts. And is there a relief being here or no? The championship game, it's more stressful than
No, if you actually look at the, how we get off to the slow start, you know, third down, I jumped off sides. Another third down, Frank Clark jumped off sides. Another third down, we got a PI. And I feel like we needed to stop beating ourselves, making key adjustments on defense, stop beating yourself, and, you know, execute the scheme of the defense. And once we start doing that, everything started working in our favor, because we're not actually depending on the offense to score 30 and 40 points. But what we are depending on, that our defense hold up to, you know, keep our offense within the game. But fortunately, we got Pat Mahomes that, you know, at any time things can take off. And Andy Reid, who is a genius at offense.
You mentioned D, and can you speak to the fate of you being in this game and him being in this game a year after things ended the way they did last year?
I actually talked to D last week before the Tennessee game, and we were just talking about how crazy it is if we get to play each other. You know, D still is a close friend of me. We still talk on basis, and I'm very fortunate, man. D taught me a lot while he was here, and more so away from football, just about life. I was fortunate enough to play with the guy, him and Tama, him and Justin Houston, which taught me a lot. So, you know, it'll be a great opportunity to actually get to play against him.
Chris, with the way things went in the game and then you get this extra rest, do you anticipate being able to play the full game on Super Bowl Sunday health-wise?
1,000%, man. I just truly believe in Rick and his staff, how they've been handling this. they're some of the best in the business. He's been in the business a long time, and whatever Rick tells me to do, I try to do it to my best ability. I completely trust those guys, and to make sure that they have me ready before a game.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Don't forget the meatballs.
Don't forget the meatballs, Chris Jones. You guys got to eat, right? Interesting. He's been talking to Dee Ford after the Titans game. Building up a little, I don't know if I'd call it a rivalry. It's the 49ers, but a little, who's going to win? Somebody's going to win?
Old friend.
There you go. I couldn't think of the word. Jiminy Christmas. So good stuff from Chris Jones. He said he was asked if he would be health-wise be ready to play the entire game, and he said 1,000%. Trust the Chiefs training staff to get him ready. And that is good news for the Chiefs defense. It's good news for Steve Spagnuolo. It's good news for all of his teammates. It's good news for Chiefs fans. It's just all good news. And I can't, I'm still going to wait. Tomorrow, Monday, is when it's going to be just ramped up. So let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout. And we come back, Joshua Byers and I will give us, we'll give you the soft pick for the Super Bowl. We're not going to nail it in yet. So we got some time. We got tomorrow. We got next Saturday. We're going to have a show. So we'll call it a soft prediction. How about that for Chiefs and 49ers? Quick timeout. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. final couple of minutes of Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. I don't know what's going on NFL Network right now, this Good Morning Football show. There's a guy in a red silk robe, and he's got a pipe. Tobacco pipe, not the other kind of pipe. And he's sitting in front of a fireplace, and they're making predictions. Maybe I'm just not familiar with this particular show, but one of the questions was, how many turnovers would the 49ers force against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Joshua, refresh my memory. How many interceptions has Patrick Mahomes thrown this postseason?
Zero.
Zero.
But if he could be in the negatives, I feel like
he would be.
It'd be possible for him, but nobody else.
I like that. If he was like, if he had negative two interceptions, that'd be awesome. So I wouldn't count on that. I just wouldn't, but that's okay. All right, I said we would give our soft Super Bowl predictions.
He's going to get an interception. That's, I guess, how he could be in the negative, is if he gets
if he went in on defense?
If he got an interception by himself.
Okay, you know what? Try something that throws the 49ers off a little bit. Looks over there in a dime package, and there's Patrick Mahomes. Ah! I don't know how good his hands are, though, because sometimes they throw those like wide receiver passes, and the quarterback like sneaks off to one corner where nobody pays attention. I haven't seen Mahomes catch a football, I guess. Played baseball, I guess, catch a ball. All right, soft predictions. We'll lock these in more tomorrow, and then we'll put them in cement next weekend on Saturday. So soft prediction, Chiefs 49ers. Chiefs a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 54.5. Joshua Byers, your soft prediction.
I would have no problem picking against the Chiefs in this one, but I really don't think they're going to lose. I kind of think, leaning towards a blowout, give me like 31-13, something like that.
Okay, so you're taking the Chiefs, giving up the 1.5.
Certainly.
Okay, that'll be easy. I'm in the same boat. It's just my gut feeling right now. Lock it in later. The over-under, 54.5. My lean is to the under. Danny Lahan, who was on the show earlier, kind of gave a 27-20 prediction. I'm kind of feeling that right now. Not set on it yet. Got to wait to see more injury reports later in the next week, but I'm leaning towards an under. This season, I am 13-5 against the spread and 10-8 on the over-under. And again, I do not wager money on these things. I just do it for fun. Want to thank Joshua Byers for running the show today. Thank you to Danny Lahan from the Des Moines Register, talking a little legalized gambling in Iowa and the Iowa Hawkeyes on the Chiefs and the 49ers rosters. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Joshua Briscoe is up next with Jayhawk Game Day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.